2020. The United States is in turmoil. Calls nationwide to defund the police. The show Cops is taken off the air indefinitely. But wait, producers say. The cops on Cops don't misbehave. That's when a light bulb went off. Make all cops be on Cops. 24-hour, 7 days a week cops. More cameras. More cameramen. More cops.
Dubfod goes hard.
Why'd you become a cop? Like, oh, it pays $10 more an hour than the post office and I get a gun. Like, I get you.
My name is Mike, and I have some really good ideas that I would like to share with you. Along on this journey with me is my good friend, Drunkard STL, on the Twitter.
Good friend. Such good friends.
The king of pranks, the albino alligator, popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse is here.
Hello, gentlemen.
And guys, Matt is here as well. Hello, Matt.
Hi.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype.
And boy, do we have an episode for you.
Drunk, let me tell you, I've been thinking a lot about it. I'm going to fix some things tonight, I think.
Okay.
And I know that you're going to be on my side on this.
Oh, boy.
As very oftentimes you are.
Yeah.
Guys, coming up after the break, sometimes. We're going to be talking to filmmaker Jared Cohn. He has a movie coming out about the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash. And he worked on it for a real long time, and we're going to talk to him about it. But Drunk, God damn it, do I want to fix some stuff.
Okay.
Now, Travis, nobody knew they needed Uber until Uber was invented.
Correct.
Like, we have buses, we have taxi cabs. We figured we have that covered. But then Uber came out, and people were like, you know what? I want to get in strangers' cars, and I want them to drive me around a bit.
And pay them to do it.
First of all, before I get into my whole goddamn thing drunk.
Kind of like DoorDash. Nobody knew we needed DoorDash.
Right.
But I need a stranger to pick up my food for
right.
me.
Right. Go get me some McDonald's. Pickup truck Uber, first of all. They need pickup truck Uber. I want to go get some of those big sheets of pegboard.
I need to get some mulch myself, so I hear exactly what
right.
you're saying.
I want to get some of the pegboard, and I want to put it up in my garage, and I want to get the little peggy things, and I want to hang my tools from it. Don't have a pickup truck. The sheets of the pegboard, they have little sheets that I can fit in my SUV, but I'm looking to just get the big sheets. I mean,
yeah,
why not?
You don't want to fuck around with those partial sheets. I mean, you want to get the big ones so you're not dicking around trying to get it all lined up correctly.
Travis, pickup truck Uber. What the fuck are we doing? Why do we not have that yet? You got to move a couch?
I think...
You want to take a futon over to a friend's house?
I think it is because typically when a person owns a pickup truck, they're already kind of
helping everybody else.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, you got a truck. Why don't you help me do this?
Might as well get paid for it, Travis.
But yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I think people are so sick of doing shit for other people that...
Then pickup truck Uber have to be just a hair more expensive because, you know, gas mileage.
Oh, not a hair. It's got to be, like, exponentially more expensive than just driving you somewhere. If it's going to involve hauling things, it's going to be pretty pricey.
Because the pickup truck I was looking at when I got my car was, like, 10 miles to the gallon on the highway. It was bad.
What the fuck were you looking at? Like a Hummer pickup truck?
a Nissan Titan.
Oh, don't. Yeah, it's Japanese.
Now, Matt, damn it. Most 911 calls don't need to be 911 calls.
Could you be a 911 operator, Mike?
No, I don't have the patience for that shit. I couldn't do it. But I mean, like you got your noise complaints, you got your missing dogs, you got your angry raccoons, you got the guy in the.
You just call the police station for that. You don't call 911.
But okay, you call
the can of peas thrown in your yard.
Right.
You call
right.
The non-emergency number is what you're supposed to call.
Okay, so here's the thing about non-emergency numbers. Yeah, you might have the non-emergency number if you're prepared. And yes, I understand that there are both the Yellow Pages and Google.
I was about to say, everybody's got that number in your pocket.
I don't. I should.
It's
don't.
Called Google. You have it.
Right. But see, let's say you're somewhere else. Let's say you're not in like your home jurisdiction.
And guess what? You can still Google
you
that.
You can Google it, sure, but emergency number. Maybe you don't want to.
So right. Let's make it more.
Let's say it's a whole goddamn thing to get out your phone, Google, find out what city you're in, find out what police station, you know, like, are we county or are we Florissant? Who knows? You know,
so you're fixing 911 is what you're.
Well, I'm fixing transfer you
drunk. I'm fixing a lot of things here.
OK.
We need a service that you just call. It's an easy number to remember.
811.
And they just fucking know shit.
Actually, I think 811 is the dig right
people. So, like, you call them, you tell them what intersection you're at. They're like, okay, this is a non-emergency. We'll call the non-emergency number. Or they just have some, you remember the wolf from Pulp Fiction?
I do.
Maybe they have some of the wolves out driving around that, like, can come knock on your neighbor's door and tell them to turn their music down. Maybe your neighbor is in network and they can just call them themselves and just be like, hey, man. Somebody's calling and bitching about your music. Turn it down.
And if you don't, stick in the face with a Saturn iron.
You pay $5 a month for this service. Where
you have to pay for this service?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't pay for 911. Come on now.
But it's more convenient than just for 911. You can also call. Let's say, see, there's a right now, drunk, I'm trying to get my garage in order. I want to get these pegboards, but I also want to get some electrical outlets put in around it so that, you know, I can plug in some of my power tools and my saws and stuff.
Okay. You're not going to call the same number for the people that your neighbors
I call this service, and I just say, hey, man, this is what I'm looking to get done. Like, you know, has people given good ratings to anybody who can do this? So, and they know. So
Angie's List.
See, but we're doing all of it in one, Trevor. It's like a liaison for everything. So, you just call them, and they'll help you out with your shit.
So you want to build phone Amazon?
So you can't get an electrician out to your house on Amazon, drunk. I call this number, and I say, hey, you know, can you tell me who's the cheapest? Can you tell me who's the best? Can you tell me who's the quickest? Hey, you know, give me a...
All that is very
Mike,
subjective.
Mike, you don't like talking to people.
Well, I mean, obviously we're gonna have text available too, Travis.
But the text could just plug that right into Google.
Oh God, that would be so much better if like you didn't have to call the non-emergency cop number and get put on hold and all that. You could just text them and have them deal with it. What do you think? Is this a call the police thing? And I mean, like they could even like, you know, give you their best estimation on whether or not you should call the police. That way, you know, all these Karens, Travis, these Karens could be like, hey, this guy's fucking with me in the park, and like just send him a quick text and they'll be like, oh, well, tell us where you are. And then, you know, he doesn't have her on tape.
She just picked up the phone to call. So that's when he starts filming.
But see, Travis, you don't think that like this would take a strain off of the police if maybe like some of these liaison guys?
No, because nobody's calling the police to fucking put electrical outlets in their garage.
Yeah, but people call the police for things that maybe they don't necessarily need to call the police for.
But you're getting too big.
We're doing it all. We're getting a value for our service. And we can do
more. Who are these randos that are deciding whether or not you should call the police?
They're experts. They know stuff. Travis?
About what?
About everything. About who you should call.
Who are you hiring for this?
I mean, they have to go through rigorous training.
How much are they getting paid?
I mean, they'll do okay. It's a call center job.
These are glorified call center
people. Yeah, it's a call center job. You do it all day. Eventually, you kind of know who to call.
Have you called the call center before?
These are the same people that are blind calling you, trying to sell you like siding and roofing materials?
No, they're not calling out. They're getting calls in drunk, and they're fixing your problems for you. Guys, I was really high on this idea.
Were really high when you came up with this idea?
Makes sense.
Yeah, I get that.
I was on board with
your pickup truck Uber, but this...
Pickup truck Uber, yeah.
You had me...
But that was just an offshoot. This call center thing, this is the idea.
You had me when it was a secondary number for police activity. And then when you started talking about electrical outlets in your garage, that's where you lost me right there.
Drunk, it's just
You're basically combining Angie's List with 911.
It's like a more intuitive Google Yellow Pages type thing.
Well, but why can't you intuitive
use the Google on your own?
But like, this is what they do all day, Travis. So you call them and say,
and how do you know those people aren't fucking you?
We are outsourcing all of our call centers in this country to India. Do you really think some guy in India is going to know who's the best electrician in Florissant?
Well, yeah, because he'll have like the algorithm.
Oh, so he'll have Angie's List pulled up and he'll just tell you.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. You're right. Nobody wants to talk to these people. Nobody's going to want to be on the phone. That's why we have the Google. Like, you'll want it to be a streamlined search engine, essentially. Like, all right, you know what? I am curious. Like, I think that's just what you want is a search engine, not even just Angie's List. But like, all right, hey, I need somebody to come out and take a look at my outlet. So then you just search electricians and then they start to rate like, oh, this is like the hourly cost of all these places.
Right. You know? But when you Google, you don't know who you're getting because they're actually good and who you're getting because they paid Google a lot. Like, you got to get the voice of the people.
You got to look at the Google reviews.
Somebody's going to hear this and think this is a good idea.
I can't, like I said, you had me on board.
I can't wait until that person comes out of the woodwork.
You had me on board when it was just a secondary, I need to call the police number.
So they know all the non-emergency numbers. They know if you call and you say, hey, there's this abandoned vehicle that's creeping me out, or hey, my neighbor's grass is getting too long. And they make the calls for you. And that's the service. Maybe you could make a list throughout the week and call them at the end of the week and say, these are all my gripes.
So this is your secretary is what this is.
Yeah, but you're paying them.
$5 a month. Woohoo!
Yeah, but it's not like you're paying
$5
one
a month
person to be your secretary.
But wouldn't $5
that
be more convenient month because they would know what your gripes are in general?
What, to have a secretary?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you might not need a secretary for like a whole week, Travis.
But if you're
not
going to
give somebody a living wage,
you're talking about come up with all your gripes from
week to week. It's like the fast food of secretaries, Travis.
I mean, you, with all the gripes that you potentially have in any given week, might benefit from actually having an assistant to deal with these things for you.
But then I would micromanage Travis, and I wouldn't like the way they were doing it.
And you'd just end up doing it yourself. So what the fuck?
And then I'd end up just doing it anyway and you pay somebody.
And if you just dial this random number and they get you some random electrician or some random roofer, you're gonna be pissed off at them.
Yeah, but then I give the
electrician sucks, you stupid number.
But then I give the electrician a bad score, and then the next person won't get it.
And now you're out $10,000 because some other electrician's got to come back through and fix their shit.
What would you think about giving people the opportunity to rate the cop that stopped them? Like, give them a score and like have their bonuses or their pay raises and stuff dictated by how good their score is.
Terrible.
I'm into that. I think that's like a Black Mirror episode.
Do you think they'd be
rating law enforcement?
Do you think they'd be nicer?
Like, anytime you have an interaction with police, you're going to rate them poorly because they are ticketing you.
Maybe not necessarily. Well, not if they're not a piece of shit.
Yeah, I think you would if that were the case. If you were raiding law enforcement, then law enforcement would be less likely to stop you for frivolous bullshit.
Right.
You know, like, I think you would get less tickets for Tail Lights Out, which I think most of the time are just ridiculous tickets anyway.
And if they like write you a warning or something, you'd be like, oh, well, that was nice. I got a warning. Maybe you give them a good score.
Oh, nobody would write a warning because if you got a warning, you're rating that shit poorly.
Yeah. Anytime
he's going, oh, thanks for letting me off. Nice. You know, the only time you're rating a cop.
If I get a warning, I would say, oh, that guy was pretty nice to not give me a ticket for that.
The only time I've had interaction with law enforcement where I would have in my past given them a good rating was I think I was 22, 23. And I am not condoning this behavior, but I was lit up coming home from the bar and had my next door neighbor, best friend at the time, in the back seat with this random gal he picked up from this club. And we were driving home. I had to drop one other guy off and I blew through a red light because it was a flashing red, or it wasn't flashing. It used to be a flashing red that I went through all the time, and they had recently changed it to just a red light. And the guy in the back seat, they were lit up and said, oh, I think that was a cop that just saw you. I think he just blew through a red light. I'm like, oh, shit. So I tried to bob and weave through this neighborhood, and they pulled me over. And I'm obviously visibly intoxicated. And the cop came and took my license and went back to his car and was gone for a while, and I'm freaking out, and the two idiots in the back seat are necking and laughing, ha ha ha. And he came back to the vehicle and he says to me, here's your license. If you've been drinking, make sure you go directly home and let me go with not even a warning. And that was the best interaction with law enforcement I ever had.
Five stars, Travis. Five stars,
yeah,
for that guy, right?
Five stars. Yep, five stars.
When you were little, did you get the baseball cards?
I did.
Police?
Right.
Yeah, baseball cards, man. I think that's what happened. I think once they stopped giving away baseball cards to random kids on bikes is when all of these problems really started to double down.
Well, Travis, a big problem is every day people are being told, oh, well, if you get stopped by the police, they're going to murder you, which... I mean, it's not true. Ooh, I mean, I'm not ruling it out, but it's every time you get pulled over for a broken headlight, he's just going to pull out his gun and shoot you in the face. It's not true.
At the same time, I've had a gun pulled on me by a police officer. When I first started working at my current job, when I was 21, I had to go in early to work, like 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and punch in at the job. There was a little caged area. It was closed down, but there's a little caged area where you can walk in the back door and punch in and then go about your way. And one of the very first Saturdays that I worked doing that, I had went to work, punched in, and drove away. Well, as I was driving away on the same street that my job was on, the police pulled me over and shined a spotlight on the car. And I look in my side view mirror, and the cop, like, immediately after opening the door and walking out, he had his gun drawn on me.
Oh.
And he screamed at me to put my hands out the door. And I obviously complied.
He think you were somebody else, Travis?
He came up and he's like there. He's got his gun drawn. He comes up there. And I have the logo for the company that I work for on my, like, uniform work shirt. And he's still got his gun out. He's like, what are you doing? It's like I was just punching in to go to my, you know, to go and do the work that I have to do, you know, for this company. And he's got his gun and he's like, oh, how do I know you work there? I'm like, well, I mean, I'm wearing the uniform. And the cop looks at it and he finally puts his gun in his holster. And he's like, we've had reports of break-ins in this area. And I just want to I'll take your license. And he took my license and then let me go. But like, he didn't give any warning at all. I'm just 4:30 in the morning, pull in, punch into work, drive away from
there. And see, Travis, one star for that guy. Man, that guy sucks.
Could you imagine that happening before your morning coffee? Jesus
Christ. I was shitting my pants. You know?
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous.
I mean, you definitely don't rate that guy good. He sounds like a loose cannon.
Very poor warning. But I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if I didn't have that work shirt on, what would have happened? You know what I mean? Like, I hearken back to, you know, you talk about every cop's going to shoot you. The only thing that, like, makes me think of that is that video from that guy in Minnesota. What was that, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where they shot the guy in his car while his wife and young daughter?
You know, that cop got off, Travis. I just looked that up the other day because I was thinking about it. They didn't give that guy anything.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Just fucking blasted him to death in front of his daughter. They just said,
oh, he was scared.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. Yeah, he was scared because he was a black guy and the cops had their guns on him. And he had a gun in the car, which he had licensed, and said, I have a gun in the car. I'm not reaching for it. It is a licensed gun. And they fucking totally shot the guy.
Right. Yeah. So, no, I mean, I don't think give him a 1 through 5 stars. Travis will fix everything. But it's something.
It's a start.
It's a start. Maybe just, you know, you get some of these people who go out every day and puff their chest out and push people around and shit, start getting bad scores, and you start to ask why. And you call those fuckers in, and you say, hey, man, why don't you hand out some fucking baseball cards and not be a piece of shit all the time?
Yeah, that'd be cool, too, but at the same time, there'd have to be accountability. Like, the guy who did kill George Floyd had, like, 16 citations for police brutality. Then he's
16 is a lot, Travis. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's too many.
Too many.
The thing is, Travis, is how many of those 16 citations started with something that one of these guys could have done from the wolf guys? You know, the Harvey Keitel from Pulp Fiction. You know, you call him up and you just say, hey, man, can you come out and deal with this? Or do I need to call the police
here? Please come take care of this.
And I mean, these guys are good, Travis. I mean, this is what they do all day. They just handle the shit.
They're retired Navy SEALs.
Yeah, they handle the shit that, like, you know, the police probably don't need to be doing. I mean, like, do the police really need to show up with a gun if your neighbor's being too loud?
So they're vigilantes.
I mean, you don't want to go out and deal with them. You don't want to go out in your front yard and start yelling at kids for being loud. Then you're grumpy next door neighbor guy.
But you are grumpy next door neighbor guy.
You just call the wolf and the wolf comes out.
Just embrace your angry old man and just take care of it.
And he just says, hey, quiet down. I don't have a gun.
Stop being such a puss.
I'm just a guy.
It's basically what Travis is saying.
Yeah, I'd rather pay $5.
For you, they would end up saying $5 a month is not enough. It'll be $5 per call.
Yeah, I was about to say per instance. I don't know. I'd say all in all, I like some things. I don't like other things. I'll give you a needs improvement.
So I need to work on it. Maybe we'll circle back in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
As we often do, Travis, you remember when we come back to all our bits?
Yeah, if this was Shark Tank, I would pass, but I would tell you, you have promise and you should continue to work.
You just got
to
hammer out the details.
So, I mean, what can I improve, Drunk? Help me out with this.
You just got too much stuff going on.
Oh, so you think like the Angie's List stuff, I need to take that out.
Yeah, fuck calling a plumber or an electrician or a... that's a different service.
At the exit,
and I love dump truck Uber. That's perfect. I like that.
At the end of my street, there's a bush, and the bush has gotten too big so that you can't see anybody coming from the right, and the street light is also out. So it's a recipe for disaster.
I believe on that one, you would call St. Louis County.
See?
Health.
Hey, just call the city.
I'm going to call the health? Am I going to call the homeowners association? Who am I going to call? I'll tell you who I'm going to call. I'm going to call this goddamn number, and I'm just going to say, this is my problem. You know how to fix it.
You call Public Works.
Let me know when it's done. And they'll call who they need to call to come out and trim this goddamn bush. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so what you're wanting to do is pay money every month for something you can do yourself for free?
Travis, isn't everything you pay money for somebody else to do something that you could probably do?
Well, I mean, if you
I mean, Travis, could I figure out how to install extra electrical outlets? Sure, I could do that. But I could just give a guy a couple $100 and he could do it.
It'd probably be more than that. You should do it yourself. Actually, there's a lot of YouTube videos online to tell you how to add outlets to your garage area. Especially, is your garage finished? Do you have like drywall and shit in there? Or is it just studded?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, Travis. I'm trying to maybe put up some insulation and.
Oh man, if it's not finished, That's like the easiest thing in the world.
I'll tell you what. Travis will come down for a weekend.
Travis, come down here for a weekend.
He'll help you out.
I'll sleep on the futon. You can sleep in my bed.
With his wife.
Travis, come sleep with my wife. And put in some electrical outlets for me.
I won't pay you, but you can sleep with my wife in my bed.
You'll have to take the dog for a walk and everything.
Travis, take my dog for a walk, sleep with my wife, and put in some electrical outlets.
Yell at the neighbors.
Yeah, Travis, I'll tell you, if those neighbors...
Yell at my neighbors, ignore my coworkers, put some electrical outlets in, take my dog for a walk, and sleep with my wife.
And call St. Louis County Public Works to have them trim that bush down the road.
Travis, you get to take my hedgers with you when you take the dog for a walk.
He'll give you $5 per instance. No big deal.
Guys, if you have ideas on how to make that better, I think there's something there. Drunk gaming and needs improvement. That means a lot to me. What we're going to do.
I'm not poo-pooing it. By no means am I poo-pooing.
Yeah, he didn't totally shoot it down. That's amazing.
We're going to take a break. We're going to regroup. We're going to think about it. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Jared Cohn about his new movie about the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash. That was before our time.
It was.
I heard of it, but I didn't know the whole story.
I've heard of Freebird.
Freebird? You know,
first of all, you're not a bird man. First and foremost.
Charles, we got to ask Jared Cohn what he thinks about Jody's criticism of Freebird.
Yeah, you have the soundbite ready, correct?
You're not a bird, man. You know?
You're not a bird,
man. Guys, we'll be back. Simple and free. Just you and me. WFOD.
This is something that shouldn't have happened, but it did. There have been many variations and accounts of this story, but I was there.
Hello, Ronnie?
Yeah, I've been meaning to call you.
We came up with this idea. We're gonna bring out 5 sets of drums and 5 drummers. Have ourselves a little drum off.
What's going on?
I gotta go to Atlanta, baby.
Atlanta?
Yeah, trying out for Skinner.
Being the drummer of Lynyrd Skynyrd every day on the road was a hilarious adventure. We knew these songs backwards and forwards so well that we only had to think about how hard we wanted to hit it.
I'm the co-pilot. All I've ever dreamed of doing is flying a big rig with rock stars. After this, I'll be able to die a happy man.
All right.
Not what was coming next.
This is Strange Label.
I think Jessica over in accounts receivable is about to get a picture of this dick.
What the fuck?
Thomas Wilson, disable your cellular device immediately.
Who are you, man?
I am a Cyberdyne Systems Series T-800 model Terminator. In the year 2021, the machines take over the planet. I've been sent by the remaining human resistance from the future to prevent you from being me-too'd.
I'm the future leader of the resistance? I'm just a file clerk.
No, you die instantly.
Then why...
You reject Cyberdyne's permit, which leads them to appeal, which leads Kevin to approve it.
But if Kevin approves it, then...
Kevin's been briefed.
A few mementos for you. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Mama told me when I was young. Come sit beside me. My my oldest son, my son, and listen closely to what I have to say, 'cause it will help you.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is a screenwriter and director. His latest film is Street Survivors, the true story of the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash. Jared Cohn is on the program.
Hey.
Jared,
hey, how's it going?
How's it going, man?
Not too bad. Living away.
Are you happy this thing's finally coming out? It sounds like you've had quite a journey to get it made and get it out there.
Oh yeah, we got sued in federal court and lost and then appealed and won. So yeah, it was a nightmare, but eventually it all worked out.
so
what was the lawsuit about?
Artemis Pyle, the drummer that we worked with, awesome guy. He had signed a document in the 80s saying that he would not be able to make a Lynyrd Skynyrd movie.
In the 80s? So, he signed a document that said he couldn't. I can't imagine that they would have thought, oh, there's going to be a Lynyrd Skynyrd movie down the road. We want you to have nothing to do with.
Well, I think it was all encompassing.
Yeah.
I think it was like you couldn't do anything. I think the word I saw was anything. Exploitive.
All right. Wasn't
specific. Yeah. He couldn't make a profit using Lynyrd Skynyrd in any way, shape, or form. And they held him hostage because he never actually signed a record deal. Everything that he had, his involvement was just a handshake with Ronnie Van Zant. They held his residuals, all his money, and they were like, if you don't sign this document, you're not going to see a penny.
Jeez.
So, but legally, he can make a movie about his life, his First Amendment right. And
sure.
Lynyrd Skynyrd being in the band, obviously, is a major part of his life. So we won, you know, because of the First Amendment. And it's technically, it's true story. It's his story about what happened. And Lynyrd Skynyrd obviously is a major part of his life.
I'd say it's a good rule of thumb, Jared, that if you survive a plane crash, you should be able to make a movie about it.
Yeah, that should be a law. Especially, if many people died on that same plane, and
Well, and he also got shot, when it happened in the movie. I guess I would say spoiler alert, but it's a thing that really happened that people probably know about. So when he was running to go get help, he ran into a farmer's land and the farmer shot him.
Oh, my God.
he did. And there's like wounds on his shoulder. And then, of course, this guy comes out on VH1, he's saying, oh, I never shot him. I pointed the gun up in the air. And meanwhile, he has, like, you know, a bullet wound on his shoulder. So there's that whole controversy. But, yeah, but nobody wants to be the guy that says, oh, yeah, I shot this guy, the Leonard Skinner, drummer Leonard Skinner, after their plane crashed. Yeah, but Artemis is like, yeah, no, he pointed a gun at me, and he shot me, and then I went down.
Jesus.
So
how did...
What a horrible, no-good, bad day where your band's plane crashes, and then you try to get help, and then you get shot for it.
And then not only, yeah, and then the guy who drove him to the hospital crashed into, because he was so, like, panicky.
Right.
Not a good day.
So, Travis, to recap, he was in a plane crash, and then he got shot. And then he was in a car accident.
It sounds like a little like Final Destination.
Jared, how did this come about? Did Artemis approach? Do you know Artemis? Did you approach him? Did he approach you?
So it's actually Cleopatra Records. They've been around since 1992. I've worked with them, directed movies for them, music videos. The Artemis Pile Band, currently. Great band. They play, they play Skinner songs like incredibly. They're signed to Cleopatra Records. Brian Pereira, the CEO, shout out to him. He and I were talking, and Artemis was the idea of a movie, doing a Leonard Skinner movie, came up, and Artemis was like, yeah, we're all fired up. We knew there could potentially be some legal action taken on the course of Judy Van Zant, the widow of the lead singer, Ronnie Van Zant, just because that's her nature. She likes to think that she is Leonard Skinner at everything.
Did I read it correctly that every dime they make, I think she gets like 30% of it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's something like that.
She actually got approached by like major Hollywood studios, Universal and other, and this is all documented, and they wanted to do a movie, a Leonard Skinner movie, like numerous times, numerous big producers, and she couldn't work out a deal with them because she wanted too much. That just goes to show you that what type of person she is. And she would, never, if you can't come to a deal with like a major Hollywood studio that wants to make a movie never would have gotten made unless, independent filmmakers, would have made it. And we have the guy that was on the plane, and, Nate Hayden, 40 years of bad blood between Artemis and Judy. And just the things that has been said in public is they say so many lies, and he's such a good guy. I spent so much time with him. He was a Marine. I back him 100%, 110%.
When I went into the movie, Jared, and I haven't seen any of your other films, but I checked out your IMDb, and there's some movies with like some robots fighting, and there I think you have like a movie with like a car racing movie with DMX, and I mean those all sound like the type of movies that I would like, but I'm thinking to myself, oh no, I mean I was pleasantly surprised to see how much respect you gave to the subject matter, and I mean like it wasn't like a downer. It was, I mean, you know, there was plenty of a good amount of boobs in it. There was a I would say like a
Game of Thrones amount.
I mean, there's a pretty good helping of boobs for a 2020 release. But yeah, I mean, like the film, it was respectful of the subject matter, which I thought was commendable. And yeah, I still want to go back and watch the DMX car racing movie. How I was working with DMX, fun. Is he a nice guy?
Yeah, he's cool, man. DMX. And yeah, he what a cool dude. He just shows up. Pretty much, he's just keeping it real. He's got his entourage, and they're rolling up in like Escalades, and I mean, it's just, you know, he's like, this game really is like the real deal. Like when he's on set or he's around, he's got this presence, and his voice, like real, that's really exactly how he sounds. And it's like so recognizable. And what a great actor. I mean, on top of that, like,
you know, Jared, like, now that I'm thinking about fantastic. It, I don't know if I've ever seen DMX act.
Oh, he's done. He's been in a lot. I mean, I wouldn't say a ton, but oh yeah. I think he did back in the day, his first big movie, I think Exit Wounds with Steven Seagal. Like, I don't know, a while ago.
Oh, I probably saw that. Now that I think about it, I think I saw that.
He's really good. I mean, really natural, and he's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I will say this. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the movies, if you look at my IMDb and, you know, all sorts of wacky, you know, things. But yeah, so it was a really great opportunity. I was so happy to be involved with this, this Lynyrd Skynyrd project. I mean, some of the movies that I've done, you know, no budget, you know, they've gotten really, you know, some bunch on Netflix and this and that. But this was, you know, for me, definitely a just great opportunity. And, you know, obviously, like every other filmmaker in the world, for the most part, you know, is trying to do bigger budget, you know, whatever.
So was this a bigger budget movie? Because if it wasn't, you fooled me pretty well, because it looked big.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it was. Oh, yeah.
And this was supposed to be released theatrically, wasn't it? And then...
Yeah.
They stopped putting out movies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they had a limited theatrical 10, 15, 20 city, you know, that it was going to come out on. And unfortunately, yeah, that got, you know, movie theater.
Are you looking into any drive-ins or anything like that?
So yeah, that would have been us.
Oh, you know, that's actually a great, I don't know why I didn't think about this. I it's too late now. probably to book a drive-in. Well, that's a great idea.
You know what?
I mean, yeah, I know.
Maybe not, Jared, because I mean, like, they're probably looking for anything that that they can play, I would imagine.
Yeah, drive-ins are thriving right now and are absolutely looking for new material.
That's a great idea. I'm going to actually present this idea.
Yeah, Jared.
We're going to make some calls. 60% of that, buddy. Yeah. Well, at least I want the Judy Van Zandt deal. Give me 30%. That's all.
Okay. Oh, my God.
I asked for 60, and then you just, before you can even respond, you cut me down to 30?
No, I don't want to be greedy. Yeah. I want the Judy Van Zandt deal.
I'm starting high. I was hoping to end with the Judy Van Zandt. Now he's going to give us 10.
I've never claimed to be a good negotiator.
I got a story. Yeah, so I'll tell you a crazy story. I mean, like, look, it's like I don't like to, you know, I have no problem like in saying what she did, because the things she did is just so like despicable, because she actually met up with you know, Artemis, right, to kind of like, hey guys, let's sit down. Let's hash this out. You know, let's figure out a way. Maybe we can work together. And they had this like great. It was like heartfelt. And then literally the day after, she's like a pound of paperwork comes and is like, you can't do this. Like, this will be illegal. You got to delete the footage. You got to do this. Like, completely just 180. Like,
so did all of this start after the movie was already in the can? Like, you had already made the movie?
No. It was like as soon as they caught wind of it. You know, cause Artemis was, you know, he's has a successful band and, you know, obviously not, you know, indie band that plays. I mean, he plays all the time.
Right.
And he announced it, you know, he's trying to, you know, create a little buzz. So that got back. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, we hear rumors that they're going to come attack us. And it was actually like, we're shooting the movie. Like it was like a few days of the movie, like the paperwork, the injunction or motion was filed. And of course, you know, and I'm on set making the movie.
Right.
And so I'm like, so what does this mean? They're going to like someone's going to roll up and shut down the production. No idea. So I was just like, all right, well, I'm going to finish the movie. I mean, and you know, and then the court date gets set, and then we thought like, oh yeah, for sure. Like the judge is going to throw it out. But turns out it was the same judge that did the document in the 80s. I'm like, whoa, are you serious?
So yeah, what are the odds of that?
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm not going to say I was wrong back then. So it was just like, really? Like, he should have, first of all, I shouldn't have been like, I don't even know how that was like, of all the judges in the world, like, you give it to the judge who literally, like, signed off on her side.
Did it ever get close to the point where you just thought you'd have to call the movie, like, Leopard Skipper, The Story of Free Bird, or something?
Yeah.
Artemis could say, hey, this is a story about some guys, but you know who I'm talking about.
There was a point where we couldn't, they were talking about, like, not having the words Leonard Skinner in, on, like, the box, the DVD box, or the poster. It was, and I was like, no, I was like, I was really, I really fought for it, and I'm glad, that I won that, because I was like, guys, like, this is the Leonard Skinner movie.
Right.
I mean, there's been documentaries, but there's never been a narrative. So that was crazy, and that was scary, because I was like, oh my god, then nobody's gonna know. They're gonna look for the Leonard Skinner movie, and they're gonna find you know, the documentary that was made, you know, 10 years ago.
Well, the pushback probably didn't work out too. I mean, obviously the coronavirus is a problem that happened, but. I mean, biopics, especially for musicians right now, are really hot with the Rocket Man and Bohemian Rhapsody. It seems like people are really like craving like musician biopics. So maybe the pushback worked out kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you never know. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens, you know, if it gets, you know, reviewed well or positive feedback. I mean,
Did you like Bohemian Rhapsody?
I did, yeah. I thought it was good. I did not see a Rocket Man.
I did not like Bohemian Rhapsody, and I didn't really care.
Oh, really?
And either, yeah. They were terrible movies.
Oh, wow.
Jared, before we let you go, there's a friend of ours who was on another podcast like a couple weeks ago, and he was complaining about Free Bird. He was saying that the slide guitar is unnecessary and, I mean, how do you say that? Right. Because the slide guitar is like a big part of the damn song. And he also said that, it was stupid because Ronnie Van Zant is not in fact a bird. He's a man, not a bird. I have the clip. I'll play it for you.
You're not a bird.
That was the clip. He was mad that Ronnie Van Zant was saying that he was a bird when he is, in fact, not a bird.
Very literal. It's a very literal interpretation. And, in this man's defense, he is right. The man, Ronnie Van Zant, was a human being.
He was a human. He was a human man. I saw him in your movie, Street Survivor, The True Story of the Leonard Skinner Plane Crash.
Have we had him tested, though? Like, does he have the bird flu?
No, it was a stupid comment, Matt, and he should be ashamed. And so I thought that I would have Jared weigh in and also say that what Jody said was really stupid.
That's a very oddball thing to say.
Right.
Would you say that this man is an idiot?
I would say that his taste, his and my taste don't align.
Okay, take a more diplomatic approach.
He's being very diplomatic. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know who this man is, but he sounds a little scary. So maybe if I say the wrong thing,
right?
He's fucking.
He's capable. I don't know what this guy's capable of.
Oh, he is from the South. He's from the South. True. We're not sure.
He's a bonehead, Jared. It's fine. So, guys, the movie is called Street Survivors, The True Story of the Leonard Skinner Plane Crash. It is going to be on video on demand. Is it the end of this month? June 30th.
June 30th.
So check it out then. And hey, if Jared gets on the horn, you might be able to catch it on a drive-in or two. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, it's a great idea. I'm not even kidding. That's a great idea.
Jared, where can people find you online?
You know, I have such a small Instagram chat. My name, Jared Cohn, the number one. I'm lucky I got that, Jared, I guess. But yeah, IMDb, you know, like you said, you know, to kind of see my stuff and, you know, Google, and there you'll see my Instagram, whatever.
And what's your phone number? What's your phone number in case anybody wants to ask you questions?
Jared, what's your credit?
It's a 911.
Jared, we appreciate you hanging out with us for a bit, man. It was fun. We should do it again later on. Take care, man.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
So thanks, Jared. Right.
Take care.
Bye.
Jared's a good guy. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was fun, dude.
I had no idea about the lawsuit.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, they got sued and lost. And I guess it was after the movie because, like, they sued him and then he finished making it. And then
it's amazing to me how they could sue a motion picture that has a member of the band involved.
Well,
you know?
He signed a document. Yeah, but
you gotta know that Lynyrd Skynyrd right now is like fractured into three different bands.
Of course.
Like there's a Lynyrd Skynyrd out there that I think doesn't even have any of the original members.
There's one guy left, Matt. The one guy left who was in the plane crash has like metal rods in his arms and his legs. Like he broke his fucking everything in that plane crash, man. Like he broke his pelvis, both of his legs, both his arms. I'll tell you what, you see pictures of that plane crash. How the fuck did anybody survive that plane crash?
I agree. I remember seeing pictures of that plane crash too, and it's just like a heap of metal.
Yeah, there was like 26 people on board, and six of them died, and two of them were the pilots. They took out the lead singer and I think like the lead guitarist. So this guy is the only one left in the band. Artemis Pyle came back. He was in the band from 74 till 77 when the plane crashed, and then when they came back in 84, I think a lot of the band that was still around came back in 84 when they came back. But like they slowly, I don't think they died off, but you know, for lack of a better word, they died off.
Just fell apart.
Right now there is one guy left in Lynyrd Skynyrd who was in Lynyrd Skynyrd, they're like on their like fifth bassist in there. This whole interview, allegedly, right, Travis?
Of course.
In case
always
we fuck
allegedly.
Anything
we're
up,
not, we're clipping
in
them.
Case we're saying anything, out of school, allegedly.
Right. I always like to think about bands like that. Like if that plane crash never would have happened, what would Lynyrd Skynyrd's legacy be? Would they still be performing? Would they still be out there like the Stones? You know,
well, I mean, they are still performing. So, yeah, they'd still be performing.
They would be. I definitely always wonder that about like people like Kurt Cobain. Like, what would have happened to Nirvana?
Right.
Kurt, like, if he was still alive today, what would he be doing?
Well,
if anything,
like, no Vuvuzelas.
Like, how would the sound change? Right, like Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah. When I think of Lynyrd Skynyrd, it's very quintessential 1970s to me. Right, like it feels like the 70s, and like
Kurt
Cobain,
southern rock feels, sound, like you
right.
know, him and
Matt. You think
like
you think Kurt Cobain would have ever done a Geico commercial? You think they had ever been like a?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, and wouldn't that have been crazy? Like, that's another thing is like, would Kurt have cleaned himself up and just done Super Bowl commercials?
Yeah, like, what's you that know? Smell? Well, it's certainly not smelling like Teen Spirit, but you can save a ton on your car, you know, something like that.
And that's the thing is like, you'd like to obviously think that he wouldn't do that, but at some point, like, Nirvana would, you know, stop playing and they would do like a, you know, 30-year reunion tour of, you know, Nevermind.
I mean, late 80s, Matt, would you believe me if I told you that Ice Cube would make kids movies?
Right.
Like the Eagles, right? Like the Eagles were all around for a while and then they just broke up and they said if they, you know, they wouldn't get back together unless Hell Froze Over. And then they had the Hell Freezes Over tour while they're all still alive.
Motley Crue signed a piece of paper that said they'd never tour again. And that lasted like a year and a half. and now they're going on tour again.
Like every 6 months, Motley Crue says they're never going to tour.
Like all four of them. They're just like, oh yeah, that paper we signed, you know, we went on tour and we told everybody this is the last one. And so they flew out so that they could go to it because they were worried that they would never get to see him again.
Yeah.
But we're doing another one now, guys. We got Foreigner with us this time.
This one's the last one. They're actually on the road. Obviously, it all got canceled, but they're actually touring with, I think it's Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue, and like, God, I can't even, like Joan Jett or some shit.
I'm on my way.
Travis, I wanted to talk about one other thing real quick while we're doing the program.
Oh, my wonderful trip to the Wisconsin Dells this weekend?
Nice.
Oh, Travis, how was it?
It was fantastic.
Was everybody wearing really masks?
I would say 10% of the people in the Wisconsin Dells were wearing masks. All of the employees of the couple of restaurants that we went to and the resort, they all had masks on. But I'd say 10% of just guests were probably wearing masks.
So all of the staff pretty much was?
All of the staff. There was a few lifeguards at the Kalahari Resort that I was at that weren't, but pretty much all, like 95% of the staff were wearing masks.
Charles, when I go places, I put it on just because, you know, like people would prefer I have it on.
You should still be wearing your mask. I mean, the states that opened up like a few weeks ago, like May 1st, are getting fucking, those numbers are starting to spike back up again.
Ours is actually in a decline. We opened up the end of May and our results are on a decline. But if you look at Arizona,
right,
they opened wide up and they're skyrocketing. They're the
I think it's just a matter of time. Like Texas and those and Florida, right? Like Florida restaurants are starting to close down again because
they're wide open.
Yeah, they were wide open May 1st, you know. Yeah. So yeah, you're looking at the end of May. So in the next couple of weeks, your test results are probably going to be spiked back.
I assume that by
August, across the country, it will be spiking because they're actually saying now too that because everything opening up and everything is that there's new strains of this COVID virus, this coronavirus that are coming to light that they don't even know what the hell they are again. So yeah, right now the pandemic is over, but stay tuned for pandemic part two.
Matt.
Yes.
Matt, do you have what you would say is like a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about, Matt?
I started watching that show Money Heist on Netflix. And Money I've been,
Heist. I don't know if I've heard of this Money Heist.
Man. Yeah, it's really kind of cheesy, but it's been fun so far. It's watched a couple episodes.
Now, when you say cheesy, you mean like the acting is bad?
Oh yeah, the acting's not great. The you know, dialogue isn't great, isn't the best. I would say it's not that it's awful. It's like I don't know if it's German or French or, you know, it's some sort of foreign thing. But it's good. It's pretty interesting. It's got the wife and I hooked in. So
I've been into Community lately. Did you watch Community when it was on? Because it's on Netflix now, and I've been watching a lot of them.
But you know, we actually took that for a spin recently, and we're like, all right, let's check out Community. But I know that I actually think Joe watched all of Community again, like his third or fourth time through.
It gets better as it goes on. Like halfway through season two now. They're like 25 episode seasons. Great. There's so many goddamn episodes.
Great.
Travis, pick of the week. Travis.
Yeah. I guess I'll double down on my 13 Reasons Why, the teen suicide show.
Oh, no, Travis. You're still watching that? My wife gave up on that, Travis.
It hasn't been a teen suicide show for two seasons. Let me tell you what. I watched the third season. I watched like three episodes. And I was like, I'm done with this. It's ridiculous. And somebody told me, they're like, hey, yeah, I just got through episode 8 of season 3. I'm like, oh, I never watched it. They're like, oh, it's kind of ridiculous. I'm like, ah, fuck. So then I watched it, and I got into it again, even though it was kind of ridiculous. And they doubled down on the melodrama for season 3.
Any more suicides, or are they done with
suicides? No more suicides. But, like, it was all about the murder of the jock kid who raped the girl who killed herself.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so the jock kid raped a gal,
murdered,
and then she killed herself.
She killed herself.
And then somebody murdered him.
Season three was about the murder of that guy and figuring out who it was.
Did he get murdered at the end of season two?
No, no. It was the beginning of season three was all about that.
Oh, so he got murdered right away into season three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Season two was still dealing with the suicide girl coming back in the main character's head or whatever. But so season three was about the murder of the rapist jock kid. And so I watched that. And then season four just dropped like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, God,
and
this is season four now?
And I burned through. I'll tell you what.
Oh, Jesus.
This season is so ridiculous. It's like it's exactly like I described Banshee, but differently, where everybody in the writer's room remembered every storyline from everything they've ever seen or read and just threw it at the wall. And they're like, yeah, we could do that. I mean, this season, two main characters are hallucinating and crazy. One is dealing with being a recovering drug addict. One is working for the cops to take down gun runners. One gay kid's parents got taken by ICE, and so now he's boxing to get out his frustration and make some money.
It is
fucking insane. The melodrama from season three is still there, but I mean they doubled.
I remember.
Are they going to make a season five? Are they going to keep going?
No, this is the last season, and that's the deal. That every single episode was like, and it was like a marquee for like these kid actors. They did an episode where it was almost like a slasher movie, like a horror movie, and the senior camping trip. And then they did an episode where like the one character like imagines him and all of these characters in like this sci-fi dystopia universe.
So like they did like a whole season of television for these people's reels.
That's exactly what it is.
They did a season like the Smallville Christmas episodes.
And let me tell you what this was. What even makes this even better is the lead character who's losing his mind has a therapist. And this therapist is played by none other than Lieutenant Dan himself, Gary Sinise.
What happened to
him? So Gary Sinise is a powerhouse actor in this thing. You watch him and he is doing an amazing job in this show filled with just the most ridiculous shit from episode to episode. It is crazy, and I'll tell you what, it is not good, but I loved it.
No.
Drunk, let me ask you something, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Do you have what you would say is a pick of the week?
Yeah, starting this week on the USA Network, a show called Cannonball. It's basically like Wipeout, except all water-based.
Drunk, have you seen Ultimate Tag?
I have not.
It is good. We were out of town and we stayed the third night that we were in the Dells. We stayed in this shitty motel that didn't have like good TV. So we watched like Fox and Ultimate Tag was on. And it's like American Gladiators, but with Tag.
Are you talking about the Titan Games?
No, no. It's called Ultimate Tag. It's hosted by J.J. Watts and T.J. Watt.
Okay.
Huh.
It's on Fox. It's pretty entertaining.
Never heard of any of this. There's a Wipeout channel on Pluto TV.
I know. Yeah. Whenever Travis got me on that Pluto with the American Gladiators.
Right. Yeah, that's what I always end up on. Either that or I turn on Baywatch for a little while and watch.
I like the Tosh.0 show channel as well.
Running slow motion.
Mike, your pick of the week?
Well, Travis, I was going to do another musical selection. You want me to give you your options? We got the Decrees, Art Thief, Delta Maid, Souls, Memory with Two Ys, Claudia Somer, or Genesis Z and the Black Mambas.
I'm going to go just if I could go first.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go Delta Maid.
Okay. Drunk, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Delta Maid. Travis?
They overruled me. I was going to go with that Claudia gal, but...
Travis, I'll give you a little taste of Claudia Somer, and then we'll go out with Delta Maid.
Ugh.
This is a sleepy number here, guys. But, you know, you got to break it up. They can't all be bangers. Sometimes you just need a sleepy number, you know what I'm saying?
You're right. They can't all be bangers.
The lights in the sky.
Matt, you don't like it?
Hold on.
Do they tell you to jump?
No. Give me a second.
You need a second, Travis?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the side I see your diamond skin.
Drunk's not into it, Travis.
Like fairy dust, I can't let you in. From the time I speak, sparkles in
your eyes. You out, Travis? All right, guys. Guys, we did it. We'll do it again next week. We appreciate your patronage. You take care.
Bumps.
What? What, Matt?
Managing means less than living.
That's a good one here.
Well, it sounds a little like Survivor.
It's not
but.
A tightest chain.
Guys, time thank you. Check out the Street Survivors when it comes out June 30th. Jared's a nice guy. Good movie. I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, that's it. See you next week.
Comes out, funds out.
So take me to the lion's den. Take me to the place that I must go. I must not feel, I must not be. Search the earth for you. I bore the mark, I wore the scars when I waded through. And I follow ghosts into the mist. They couldn't touch my face. So I searched for answers in my lay. Left them in their place. And I'm ready, ready to die.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. And be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at wfodshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. You can also follow Matt at The Lotus Cast, Travis at Produce Travis, or Drunk at DrunkardSTL on the Twitters. You can email any of us, Mike, Travis, Matt, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. You can give us a call when we're live or when we're not. The number there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz and Liquid Lozenge. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back next week. Thanks again. Goodbye.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.
I get that you're hungry, but there's no way you're hungry like a wolf. You ain't no wolf.
You fucking boner.